Psalms 1. And this time of year, when the new year, many Japanese go to shrines and temples to welcome in the new year. According to polls, about 70% go every year. And probably some go just because it's a custom. Others go to be on the safe side. No doubt some go and pray for a happy new year, a good new year. And of course, this is not just in Japan in one sense, because all of us, even in English and probably in Chinese too, we say happy new year, or maybe Chinese there's a way to have a greeting for a new year, wishing for a good new year. So probably all people want a good year, a good new year. I think that's probably true. But our passage today is not just about a good year, but about a good life. In other words, not just 2018 being a good year, but our life being a good life. If you need an outline, and that might help, I don't know. Yeah, that's it. Anyway, let's look at Psalms chapter 1, and let's just read all the way through verse 6 to begin with, and then we will look at each verse as we go. So Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. Psalms is in the middle of the Bible, and we'll look at chapter 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So I want to think about how to have a happy new year, or maybe how to have a good life. How to have a good life. And so in verse 1 it says, to begin with, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So I want to think about this verse. And first of all, we see here there's three different ways that this blessed man, he does not do three things. So there's some things that we must avoid if we want to have a good life or a good year. Things that we must avoid, things not to do. There are things to do, and we'll look at those later, but things that we must not do, first of all. In verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So there's three things here that we must not do. And so the first is, we must not follow ungodly advice. It says, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Means that we don't follow the advice of ungodly people who don't love God. We don't follow their advice. So there's plenty of advice in our world around us. You can get all sorts of answers and advice from people, and some of them well-meaning, sincere people who really want to help, who think they can help, who are sure that they can help, but they are, if they're not on the same side as God is, then we should not listen to their advice. Most of the advice that the world gives us is contrary to God's advice. It's the opposite of what God advises us to do, what God teaches us to do. Maybe in business, being too honest is a way that we can't make much money. So people might want to fudge and cheat a little bit here and there, but of course God teaches against that. And if we're short on money, we might say, well, we can't give money away because we're short on money. But the Lord says that we should give, and if we give, that he will give unto us. So there's much advice that the world gives us that is contrary to what God's advice is. When people mistreat us, probably most people would say that we shouldn't mistreat them, but still, when someone is mean to us, we tend to think that we ought to be mean to them to make things even. But God says no, that we should bless them. Many things like that. And so much of our advice comes through maybe education. Much of it may be in our home. Maybe it comes through television, through music, through culture. Many, many ways that we get wicked advice, the wrong kind of advice. So the first thing that it says here is, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, they don't follow the advice of people who don't listen to God. And then the next thing it says here is, nor standeth in the way of sinners. So walking and then standing, and then the third one is sitting in the seat of the scornful. So we'll look at each of these, but if you notice, the first one is walking, the next one is standing, and then the third one is sitting. So each one gets a little bit, changes a little bit. And so standing in the way of a sinner, I think, and I'm not real sure, but I think that perhaps it indicates a change from just listening to advice to now we are following the advice. In other words, we are living like they live. We have the same kind of bad habits that they have. We're standing in their way, in the way of a sinner. We're with them. They're our friends, and we do the same things they do. Because we've listened to them, now we're doing what they told us to do. We practice, we have sinful practices. And so listening to the advice of the world rather than God's word, if we do that, it says you must not do that if you want to be blessed, if you want to have a good life, you must not do that. But if you do that, then you will begin to live like the world. You will begin to live a life, a sinful life full of sinful habits. And sinful living, the way the world lives and the way the world thinks, not the way God wants us to live, nor the way God wants us to think, will become normal for us. And it will seem right to us. And sin is like that. It's progressive. It moves. We become used to it. That's the way sin is. And it takes more control of our lives as we begin to listen to it. It begins to control our lives. And so we think about, for example, Eve, her sin in the garden. It began by listening. Listen to Satan's voice. And then she acted on what she heard. She took the wrong advice and acted on it. And it changed everything. So sinful habits. And then the third one here that we must not do. Three things that we must not do. We must not follow ungodly advice, and we must not practice sinful habits. We must not, that must not be a part of our life. And then, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. So we're going from walking to standing and now sitting. And of course, today you're sitting and I'm standing. But in Bible times, the teacher most of the time sat. And the others listening stood, or maybe they sat on the floor, but they did not sit like in a seat. So the ruler would be sitting, and his subjects would be standing in front of him. So the idea of sitting here is now you have listened to the wrong advice, you begin to walk in the wrong way, and now you are the one teaching the wrong advice. You're giving out the wrong advice. You're sitting in the seat of the scornful. The scornful is someone who mocks God, who says that God's advice is foolish. And so now you've gone from just listening to the wrong advice to living in the wrong way. Now you yourself, because you've lived like that, you begin to give people the wrong advice and you begin to mock God's teaching as being foolish. And so this is what you must not do. Sin takes control of our lives. And if we begin to listen to it, we will begin to live like that. And then eventually, if we continue on, we will begin to teach like that. We will give advice like that. And so they say, if you want a blessed life, you must not do these three things. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You must not live like this if you want to have a good life. At least a good life, not necessarily what the world considers a good life, but remember, the blessed man is the one that God says is blessed. The one that God considers his life, and from God's point of view, it's a good life. If that's the kind of life you want, you must not live this way. So then, you know, many times the Bible gives us some things not to do, but also the Bible always gives us things that we must do. So being a Christian is not just about you must not do this, this, this. Maybe the Ten Commandments, most of them are you must not do this. But if we flip them, there's always a what you must do instead. So here in verse 2, it gives us what we must do instead. And verse 2, but his delight. So instead of listening to the ungodly advice, instead of practicing sinful habits, and instead of mocking God and teaching others like that, instead of doing that, what will we do? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, the Lord's law, doth he meditate day and night. So there's something that we must do. That we must love God's word. And so here it's called God's command. It's not an optional thing here. In the delight in the law of the Lord, in his law doth he meditate day and night. When we think about the word law, does that sound like something optional? The speed limit says 80. So, that's an option. Is that true? Well, sometimes I drive that way, I'm sorry, but it really isn't an option. It's a law. But there are many laws that say this is the way you must do something or must not do something, and if we don't consider them options, or if we do, we get in trouble. The law of the Lord is not optional. It's not something we can pick and choose. It's his command. And the law of the land is enforced by maybe police or judges, but here the law of God, he's the creator of the universe, the judge of all man, and what he commands us is something that we must do, and not just do, but we must love. So it's not just about, okay, I'm going to do what God says because, I can't help it, I just have to because I'll get in trouble if I don't, but it's to love, to delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord. So he doesn't just do it just because he has to do it, but he loves God's law. He delights in God's law. It makes him happy. He's pleased to follow God's law, God's commands. So he loves God's word. God's word, the Bible here that we have, is God's law. It tells us how God wants us to live. So we need to love his word. And then it goes on, though, to say that, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So one of the things that we try to encourage people to do is to read God's word. Maybe even read the Bible through in a year. Go through the Bible, if you can, in a year. If not, at least read the Bible every day, And that's an important thing. But the truth is that in encouraging us to read God's word, it's not just to be a mechanical thing. Not just that we read so many verses. Okay, I did that. But that we love to hear from him. And that we love to obey him. In other words, as we read, we think about it. And we apply it to our lives. And we want to follow it in our lives. And so to meditate on it day and night. In other words, we want to live in the right way. We want to do what's right. So God gives us advice on difficult problems that we face, whether this is right or wrong, good and right advice. And he helps us through his word to correct sinful habits, to get victory over sin and its temptation. When we look at the life of Jesus, for example, when Satan tempted him, how did he answer Satan? He was tempted 3 times in the wilderness. Each time, he answered by quoting from God's word. He quoted and then he gave an answer. He quoted from God's word. In other words, the basis for his answer was not his own reasoning, but the basis of his answer was God's word. And that's how we can combat and fight and get victory over Satan and over temptation in our life. Not in our strength, but in his strength, depending on his commands, depending on his word in our life. And Jesus gave us a wonderful example. Of course, in order to do that, we must love his word. We must spend time in his word. We must meditate on his word, must think about it. It must be part of our life for when temptation comes for us to automatically be able to answer from his word, we must have thought about it. It must be part of our life. And so it says to do this day and night. Obviously, day and night doesn't just mean one day, but it means all the time. In other words, we do this every day. So it's not just a Sunday thing. Okay, it's Sunday, so it's a time to think about God's word today. Then Monday through Saturday, we don't think about God's word. We don't even think about it. We don't talk about it. It doesn't mean anything to us. We live our life the way the world lives it. And just Sunday, we think about God's word. But that's not what it's saying. It says day and night, indicating that we do this all the time. That's the way we live all the time. Do it every day. And so it's a part of our life. God's command should guide our everyday life. All day, every day, in all sorts of situations. Whether it be at home, in our work, at school, community, with friends, family, all the time, God's word should guide us. And God has a plan for each of those areas. He has a plan for our family, for our relationship with husband and wife, for our relationship with our children, parents, and work, and community. For all areas, God has a plan, and He's given us instructions. He's given us His law, His word. And so we ought to think about that, His word. God has a plan for us because God is our creator. He made us. And so He certainly has a plan for us. When we think about that, when man makes something, let's say he made this right here, this IC recorder, right? So what's the IC recorder for? It's to make a recording, right? And so it's designed to do that. Someone made it for that purpose. And so there's a plan. God has a plan. We're not an IC recorder. We're much more. But God has a plan for us. And He has a plan and He gives us the plan. This comes with a manual, a very simple manual, but it tells us how to use it. But we're much more complex than this IC recorder. And God gives us a manual, how we should live our lives in the way that He expects us to, and that's in His Word. So, if we want to have a good life, there's things to avoid and things to do. Things that we must avoid is that we must not listen to the wrong advice, we must not begin to live in the wrong way following that advice, and we must not begin to teach others to follow the wrong advice. Instead, we must love God's word, meditate on it, and do this all the time, every day, all the time. And then if we do that, then we can see some things that we can expect. What will happen then? It says, blessed is the man, but what will happen? And so the Bible gives us an illustration here in chapter 3. But first of all, let's look at 1. It says, blessed is the man, and then it gives us what not to do and what to do. And this is connected, verse 1 and 2, because it says, but his delight. So they're connected. And if we don't do this and we do this instead, then the Bible says we'll be blessed. And so this blessed in another way of putting it, we could say happiness. Who will be happy? Those that follow God's plan here. And so many people go maybe to the shrine at this time of year looking for happiness, maybe wanting a happy year. In English, we say a happy new year. And so we want a happy new year. We want a blessed new year. We want a good new year. But how are we going to be able to get that? And God's word gives us a plan here. But the world's plan doesn't work. For example, look at verse 4. The ungodly are not so. And that's in contrast to verse 3. So maybe we should read verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And then in contrast, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. So the contrast is this, that the world offers a sense of happiness, but it's short-lived. It's like the chaff that the wind blows away. It doesn't last. Whereas the happiness that God offers, as we see in verse 3, is long lived. It's eternal. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So here the true happiness, true prosperity, the truly blessed life is pictured here, that we will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Here if we have a, think about, well, in Nagaoka, we have lots of rain, so we don't really have to think much about a river. We have lots of rain, so we don't necessarily need a river. But if you're in an area more like the Bible, where it's much drier, if you are by a river, it doesn't matter whether it rains or doesn't rain. I mean, if it doesn't rain for a long time, it'll matter. But in general, it doesn't matter whether it rains every day, because if you're by a river and you're a tree, you can get plenty of water all the time, no matter even if the situation is difficult. There's not a lot of rain. So that's the picture here, is if you do... follow God's advice. This is what you'll be like. You'll be like a tree planted by the river and rivers of water. And so you won't have to worry about the rain. You'll have plenty of nourishment. And because of that, you'll bring forth fruit when you should. And so here we see the true prosperity comes about by being able to listen to God and to walk with Him. We have a good life, not just now, but for all eternity, the Bible talks about. And this whole Psalms 1 is all connected, so we want to skip on down to verses 5 and 6 and see the contrast. Well, let's read verse 4 and then 5 and 6. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So those who are ungodly, those who do not follow God, those who do not walk with God, as we saw in verse 1, the way that we must avoid, they may prosper temporarily, but it's only temporary. Eventually, they will be judged by God, and that's what it's warning us of. So, if we want to have a blessed life, we must avoid, like we have here in verse 1, to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, to stand in the way of sinners, to sit in the seat of the scornful. Instead, we must delight in His law. And if we do that, then we will enjoy the prosperity that He promises us in verse 3. When I say prosperity, I don't mean by that we're going to get rich. We might, but that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that our life will be a fruitful life. It'll be a life that that bears fruit that pleases God. It'll produce fruit that God is pleased with. And so that's what we're being promised. And then finally, many people go to the shrines here in Japan in particular for maybe some sort of protection. And they even buy maybe a protection each year to give to protect them through the new year. But really, that is not the way to have protection. The true protection that we get is from God Himself. And God is the one who provides it for us. In this passage, it talks about the ungodly in verses 4 through 6, and their end is in judgment. That the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So true safety is found when we are on God's side, when we walk with Him. This verse 6, when it says, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. This knowing is not just that He knows our name, but the word knowing in the Bible indicates an intimate relationship. Oftentimes it's used, even sometimes used in the sense of a husband and wife. So Adam knew Eve and then Seth was born. So there's an intimate relationship between maybe a husband and wife. So God knows us. There's an intimate connection, fellowship between us and Him. And so that brings about true happiness, prosperity, and protection. And even in the midst of difficulties, we can be like that tree planted by the river of water that prospers. So God wants His children to have a good life. We all have children, and so if we don't all have children, but a lot of us here have children. What do parents want? What's best for their children? Probably so, huh? I think so. At least we may not know what's best, but we want what's best anyway. We may get confused about what's best sometimes, but really we want the best things for our children, what we think is best. And so in the same way, our Heavenly Father wants what's best for us. And so He gives us, He teaches us here. He says, look, if you want to have a good life, you want to have a blessed life, you want to have a happy, prosperous life, then this is some things to be careful for. Don't listen to those people who are opposed to me. Don't live like they do. Don't begin to teach like they do. That's a dangerous thing. Instead, listen to me. Listen to my word. And do that all the time. In every area of your life, do that. If you do that, you'll have a prosperous life. You won't be like the ungodly. You won't be like the chaff that the wind blows away, that's gone and forgotten, but you will be you'll be in a close relationship with me, and you'll find true happiness, true prosperity, and truly be protected by me. And so, of course, this is true for our new year, but it's not just for the new year, really. It's for our whole life. If we were to live our life like this, we could expect the results to be like that as well. So I pray that you'll understand how important God's Word is. It's very important for us to love His Word, to spend time in His Word, not just to read it mechanically, okay, I've read my verses today, but to actually think about what we read and to apply them to our lives, to say, okay, if that's what God says, then do I live like that? If not, what do I need to change to live like He says for me to live? And if that's the kind of lifestyle we have where we really listen to Him and we adjust our lives to fit what He teaches us to do, then we can expect the results that He promises us to have here. We can expect to have a happy life, to have a prosperous life. Not, I don't mean by that, again, being wealthy, but a prosperous life in the sense that we will produce things that please Him and honor Him. And so that's my desire for my life, and I imagine for most of you have that kind of a desire. You want to have a good life. Very few people want to have a bad life. But a truly good life is found through God's promises. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And as we begin this new year, this is the first Sunday of this new year, pray that you'll help us to adjust our thinking, to realize the importance of your word in our lives. Help us to focus on your word, to spend time in your word throughout the new year. Read your word, but not just to read it, but to also think about it and to apply it and to seek to follow your word, to really love your word, to have a desire to obey you, to have a desire to follow you. And Lord, if we do that, we have your promise here that you will give us a good life. So I pray that you'll help us in that way. Pray for those who maybe still do not see the importance of your word to realize how precious it is and how important it is, and that they would follow your teaching here in their life as well. So we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in closing, we want to sing one more song, page 458, and let's sing "More About Jesus, Would I Know."